Here's today's reading. It comes from the 17th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 11th verse. It happened that as Jesus made his way towards Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but they raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And taking a good look at them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And they went, and while they were on their way, they became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back shouting his gratitude, glorifying God, and he kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful that he couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" And then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed you and saved you." Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be my words, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and their hearts, but deep in their souls, God, that place where only you and they go. Help us to understand that there's a little more to this story than just healing. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, how many times have you heard this story, do you think? Okay. Over your lifetime? Hundreds? Probably. And it's always done, if you went to the traditional church, it was always done at the beginning of the stewardship drive, the pledge drive for the church, when they were trying to raise money for the church or get you to sign your pledge card. And it was always, yeah, and it was always about making people grateful. You know, that you should be grateful for this, that, the other thing. And it occurred to me that no, as I read this quote this morning, that that's really not what this story is all about. Remember, Luke did another story about a Samaritan. What was that? Come on. What's the other Samaritan story we know?
The Good Samaritan.
Good morning.
The right side. Amen. And why do you think that Luke is picking on the Samaritan? I mean, why does he use the Samaritan as an example?
Well, the outsider that comes in is often more of a believer than the person that was raised that way, because the person that was raised that way expects.
Exactly. Jesus and Luke, the author, is trying to make a point to the readers. Now look, all you folks that think you've got it made, there's a couple of things that you might want to consider. One, when you don't meet the needs as they're presented to you and you come up with an excuse, your relationship with God might not be as strong as you think it is. And secondly, one of the deals is that we spend a lot of our time moaning and groaning about our lot in life, when if we would just sit down and say, you know what? I'm actually pretty blessed. The things in my life and the relationship that I have with God have things going pretty well. And I want to center on that idea. I'm going to give you this quote now at the beginning of the sermon, and then I'm going to give it to you at the end so that you think about this the rest of the week. And that is this. Luke is making a very heartfelt point. Only the foreigner, or that Samaritan, is grateful for the grace received. The others think solely of the benefits received. And I think that that's what this story is all about. I think that, and you've heard me say this before, that, you know, capitalism is a great form of economics for us to live in, and it is the way of the world. But one of the problems, one of the side effects of capitalism is what? The one with the most toys when they die wins. One of the side effects of capitalism is that somehow or another it becomes a materialistic way of measuring how successful you are. This story, more than anything else, points out that, look, it isn't about that. It is really about being grateful for where you've been, where you're going, and what you got. It is recognizing the relationship that you have with God. It is not about the benefits you receive. Now, I could tell you, I had an interesting conversation yesterday with, I forget the gentleman's name, but he's originally from Texas, and we were talking about jobs. And one of the things that he said to me was the reason that he admired pastors is because pastors, for the most part, did their job without considering benefits like you do in corporate America. You know, when you go to get a job in corporate America, what do you consider? How much you're getting paid? And then the very next question right after that is, what are the benefits? You know, we had that whole conversation. Like, for example, where my husband works, you know, he gets X amount of vacation during the year, and he gets X number of sick days, right? That he can, that's considered a benefit. But the deal is that if he doesn't use it in that year's time, what happens to it? He loses it. You know, there's other companies that that it rolls over, okay? One of the ladies that was part of this conversation said that she'd really like the European way of doing things, where they hand out benefits based on your productivity. As long as you get your job done, they don't care whether you come to work. They don't care how much time that you take off. And I sat there and I thought about that this morning in relation to this story. Isn't it odd that we have come to a point in our lives that we really do measure whether our life is good or not based on the benefits that we receive? Now, I know that's kind of tough because you want to sit there and say, well, Pastor, that's how we survive. But that's not how we survive. Where we survive is with our relationship with God. That's where it starts. And what is the benefit of having a relationship with God? Oh, now we've hit a nerve. Because if we have a relationship with God, we no longer have an excuse not to do good. Because, see, our excuse to not to do good is what? Because, oh, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, you know, we all have attitudes. We all do. You know, there's people this morning that I heard on the radio as I'm coming in that say, listen, the reason that a certain political candidate has still got people's support is because that stuff that he was caught on tape saying, they've said themselves. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, whoa, wait a minute. Where does our relationship with God come in? Where do we begin to think about how we treat each other, how we look at each other? And that's part of this story. The Samaritan understood that something miraculous had happened to him. He understood that this guy who was supposed to be outside the main veil had been touched by God. Think about that, folks. All of you, as you have grown up and as you have gone through life, I mean, I know all of you here rather well. And all of you have that story where you were outside the main veil. And somewhere along the line, God reached out and touched you and said, no, you are not one. You are not alone. I made you. I don't make mistakes. You are created wonderfully and uniquely in the image of God. And when you recognize that, folks, you got to come back and say thank you, don't you? That's what the Samaritan did. It didn't have anything to do with stewardship. It didn't have anything to do with how great a church member he was or what race he was part of. It had everything to do with the one thing that he understood. A miracle took place in his life, and he went back to the source and said, thank you. This morning, there's a lot we should be thankful for. I go back to the source, and I know that some of you think that I make too big a deal out of this. But the fact that I stand before you as a legally married man in the United States of America, thank God. The fact that I am the pastor of a church that gets that it's not about creeds and credo, thank God. The fact that we could take what little bit of money that we have and resources that we have and step out into the community and make somebody's life a little bit better, even if it's just for an hour. Thank God. Amen. Folks, it's not about the benefits. It's about what we see. And if you see yourself in a relationship with God, understand the grace that has come your way. Understand, you do what you do, because as James has reminded us again and again, if we know what to do that is good, and we don't do it, that's evil. And Jesus was asking a simple question. A very simple question. There were 10. Why is this person who was outside the only one to recognize their relationship with God? God bless you this morning.
You want to read that one more time?
Oh, yeah. One more time. As a matter of fact,
No, that
works. You didn't shut it off yet, did you?
Nope.
Okay, good. Because there's actually, this actually leads into communion. King Duncan, who's a Methodist preacher, said, why did only one man cleansed from leprosy return to thank Jesus? Well, somebody made a list of 9 suggested reasons. One wanted to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he never had leprosy in the first place. One said he had got well anyway. And one gave glory to the priest, and one said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. And another one said, any rabbi could have done it. And one said, I was already much improved. Come back to the quote. The foreigner is grateful because of the grace that he received. Others think solely of the benefits. If we understand the grace that we have received, then we can't help but be thankful. God bless you.